And I didn't put it on hold, so hopefully there we go. Okay, so what you're going to do, now remember, if you're not willing to get past stupid, sounding stupid, feeling stupid, acting stupid, you're not going to get anywhere when it comes to writing. You're not going to get anywhere when it comes to doing any sort of art or doing anything that you really want to do. So what I want you to do on that piece of paper with a pen is I want you to write 5 to 8 topic ideas, okay? 5 to 8, and you can go back to page 19, page 21, page 22, and page 23, and look at some of those things. Or if you really got it together at the end of the last time, you can go to page 24 and write some of your item where you've had focus on, okay? But if you weren't here, that's okay. Go ahead and write down 5 to 8 topic ideas. I'm going to give you 3 or 4 minutes. Now remember, don't edit yourself. Don't say that's a dumb idea. The page just right there. Don't say that's a dumb idea. Don't say I can't do that. Don't say, oh, I don't know enough about that. Don't say, just write it down. Oh, topic ideas, book ideas. Remember, no, don't self-edit. Try not to scratch anything out unless you just don't even worry about the spelling. Get the idea down. 5 to 8 topic ideas. If you have more than 5 to 8, that's okay. Raise your hand when you get to 5 topic ideas. Okay, good. Keep going. Raise your hand if you got. Raise your hand again if you got 5 ideas. Anybody with 5 ideas? Good, good. Got about another minute. All right, raise your hand if you have 5. Almost everybody has. Raise your hand if you have 8. Okay, 1, 2 of you, 3 of you, 4 of you. Okay, good. Good. All right, you stop right there. Time out. All right, just shout out some of the topics you had. Anybody?
Disciplined lifestyle.
Disciplined lifestyle, okay.
Loss.
Loss, okay. Oh, don't be shy. Come on. Go. Hurry.
Financial tips for millennials.
Financial tips for millennials. Good.
Hearing the voice of God.
Public speaking.
Oh, hearing the voice of God. Public speaking. Good. Okay.
Good. Hiding.
Oh, that's good.
Journey of an abused person.
Journey of an abused person.
What I learned in the boredom of recovery.
What I learned in the what?
In the boredom of recovery.
You already have a title.
Okay, recovery.
Good. Okay, no, that's fine. No, that's good. See how that works out? Everybody says different. Some was one word. So who had a one word one? What was your one word? Okay, so we weren't here last week, but I wanted to cover this, so I left this up here. So if you have a word like loss, you're going to have to narrow it down, okay? So we're going to put loss here as this is our idea. And to narrow it down, all you would simply do, you could do something like this. You're going to put lost money. I have a loss of money. You could do marriage. You could do child. You could do a whole bunch of stuff off of that. It could be job. Mind. I like that. I thought that's what you said. Lost your mind. So see, you can't. You don't really write a book, especially your first book, about loss. You write it specifically about something. Okay. So I want you guys to remember that when you're writing very specifically. I did read a book a couple years ago called Willpower. That was the name of the book. Well, it's about 500 pages. It's all about willpower. But it's not his first book. It's like his 10th or 12th. He's a sociologist. All of those things. He has all the research down there. It's a comprehensive book on willpower. Okay? We're not looking to write that book. We're looking to write a book. I showed you some sizes last week, and we'll show them again. So when you get your topic, all right, what you're going to do, you're going to do a mind dump. So your brain is really good at storing stuff, but not always good at accessing and getting it out there. And sometimes when we generalize, like big picture, like prayer we talked about last week, somebody would write a book on prayer. You could, is it prayer to Allah? Is it Buddhist prayer? Is it meditative prayer? There's all this prayer. You can't keep it general. So what you do, we're going to look for a topic. Somebody else had a one-word topic.
Hiding,
okay. Now, that's going to be a little bit hard. What was yours?
Public speaking.
Public speaking, okay. So we're going to talk about, we're going to put public speaking here. And by the way, if it's hiding, you still have to do this with hiding. But as a group exercise, hiding's not going to work that much for us. So public speaking. Let's have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, there's 11 of us here. Let's have a brain dump right here, okay? So when you think of public speaking, just brain dump on me and I'll write them down here.
Fear of.
What?
Fear of.
Fear of, okay. Keep going.
Effective.
Don't think, just say it out if you...
Attention getting.
How you look.
I like it. Looks.
Preparation.
Opportunity. Preparation. What?
Delivery,
okay.
Tone of voice.
What's that?
Vocal tone.
Okay, good. I like it. Vocals.
Visuals.
What's that?
Visuals.
Good. Good handwriting.
Topic.
Okay, good.
How to be interesting.
Okay. Well, that might be up here. Attention getting, how to be interesting. Well, that's okay. Well, how to be interesting.
Warming up.
Well, you're going to be a comedian. I remember.
Outline.
What's that?
Outline,
okay. You know, some of you, when you're asking these, you're like, outline? It's a brain dump. It doesn't matter. You're just dumping out of your brain. It's like, so just more? Public speaking.
Do we have effective?
Yeah, effective is right here, yes.
Diction, elocution.
Okay, so we're going to pull down diction right here with vocals. See how you just added on your mind map, like a little branch off of that? So visuals.
Target audience.
Target audience. Do we have an audience? Nope. Okay. Opportunities or getting hired. Or do you get paid?
Length.
What's that?
Length and time. Okay,
good. Do we have that?
No.
Nope. Length and time.
Training.
Yep. How, where?
Material.
Do we have anything with material? Sort of, we could put topic or material up here.
Overcoming.
Good, good. I don't think that's there at all.
That's fear of.
Fear of. Where's fear of? There is right here. Okay.
Did we say target audience?
Target audience. Yep. Right here.
What not to do.
What not to do. That might be in some other stuff, but what not to do.
And those are all the chapters.
One, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. There could be 19 chapters. Or if your topic was really, really broad, like prayer, you would use a mind map to then narrow down your topic to your topic. Okay, we did it a little bit last time with prayer. So this is a great way to work on your stuff, okay? So what we're going to do...
Oh, just a question.
Uh-huh.
So could you take, like, just overcoming the fear of it, and that be your topic or your...
That could be your entire book.
Entire book.
Yep. It could. Especially some of the things that are selling the best from for businessmen or sales or things like that is 12 ways to present, 12 best ways to present, things like that. And it's just the language, it's the same tips everybody else in the world is using, except it's 20% yours. You've learned it. You've learned it, you've done it, but then now you're doing it with your voice in it, your language. When they say make your message X minutes long, everybody that's presenting at Rotary Clubs on a Monday afternoon lunch is presenting for 22 minutes or 27 minutes. So you're not saying anything new, you're just saying it again, and then you're giving reasons why, maybe why the brain only lasts that long, or why, stuff like that. So you could take any one of these probably. How to find your target audience could be a 40-page book.
Yeah.
And it would be geared towards people who want to speak, who want to really target it in, and probably who want to make money on it. So Zcad, what was your topic?
Five financial tips for millennials.
Financial tips for millennials. So that could go on to a whole bunch of stuff. You can break down to buying a car, buying a house, saving your money, having a budget, what kind of all of those things you could do, okay? Okay, any other questions on this?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay.
That's pretty straightforward for nonfiction. What about fiction? Do the same kind of
fiction thing? Is the exact same thing. That's a good question. Fiction is the exact same thing. You put your story. We could do it right here. Well, fiction would be one person telling a story, not a group story. But we'll do a fiction story right here. Les Aaron's writing journey, or people I met on my writing journey. It'd be Kathleen, and I'd tell a funny story about Kathleen.
That's
autobiographical. Okay, so then you just do your story. I'm going to do a story. Alan had something about abuse.
Yes.
Okay, that could be a story. That could be an actual story of somebody that you know. And then what you do the same thing.
Start with their name or...
It doesn't really... So when you tell a story, you're not going to tell your whole life story. You're going to tell a piece of your story. When the night the lights went out. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's going to be your story. Right. So I'm going to show you how easy it is. So you're going to go here. You're going to talk about how...
That we're there.
Well, when the actual lights went out would be a big deal. How hot it got. How weird it was there was no TV, which is obvious, but there's no internet.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh.
So you're going to stack that. And wait, my phone dies and why do I watch TV before I go to bed? So what you do, you just mind dump on that night. You do all of your stuff out here. You go, you went to HEB, but it was closed, and you had to drive to Tomball, and then you had to go to Walmart because your wife wants you to go there. And for some reason, everybody last night at our Walmart was buying bottled water and canned foods, and their electricity was out for 2 hours. So you tell that story. So you just add everything here, and then you have your chapters. So you write the important parts of your stories. It's just pieces of your story.
In that case, that's not the chapters, right?
It could be. Yeah, it would be. All a story is your chapters, if it's fiction or nonfiction. What it does, it makes it a lot more personal when it's a story. So if you're telling your own story, if you're making up a story, you would still do the exact same thing. You would think through what's my story, and what parts are I'm going to plot in my head. If you have a story, if you have a movie, you have a script writing program that actually has cards that pop up on your screen, and you fill out your scenes. Important scenes, maybe dialogue, maybe when so-and-so meets so-and-so, and you get to just take those with a click and you move them all around. Just like this. It's just all digitized. In fact, there's a mind map digitized thing, but it's actually easier to do it this way when you're trying to like break through and come up with ideas in chapters. So it's the same thing. It's not any harder. It's not any easier. It's just hard to commit to sitting down and taking this page and even doubling it. Because you're just dumping. You're not thinking I'm writing chapters. See, if you get ahead of yourself, I'm writing chapters. Oh, that doesn't fit. That doesn't fit. You don't even know what your brain wants to write all the time. If you will mind dump for, say, set the timer for 20 minutes. We did it really fast. But if you set your timer for 20 minutes, you get yourself a piece of paper, you get some colors for your glass window, and you just start writing on it, you come up with 20 or 30 of those, you might be surprised. Wait, I've got a book about this over here, and I've got a book about this over here. Or my book is way different than I thought it was. A really, really good story that's fiction is a story that they say writes itself, because you've decided on characters that are actually, you begin to learn them, and they begin to have their own voice. They begin to do things in your story that you didn't know that they would do. But if it's a story that you know you've lived, then it's not the same. But even if it's a story that you've lived, you have marks of, you could write your life story right now. You could say, I'm going to take, you know, your first year of for me it was my second year of third grade, but for you hopefully it was your first year of third grade, and your only year of third grade. But you might write your second year of third grade, and how you got sent to the principal's office, and how you walked away and left school, and they called the police and your parents, and you did that multiple times. And back then you might have go through all of those stories, those good school stories from your early years. But you just marked down. You brought Mr. Renzulu and your Miss Pack, and you would write down all that. You would have those things around your circle, and that would become your story. You could do it for yourself right now. You would just start writing. I graduated high school. I got married. I had kids. We got Victoria. We had Zeke, then Victoria. We moved here. We went on vacation here. This church fell apart here. You know, I lost my job here. We bought another house here. And it would just be your story. But if you're thinking in advance, trying to be clever, you'll stop yourself. You will stop yourself. And that's what we did last time, is trying to just put it down on paper. Don't be clever. And none of these were a real huge surprise to y'all when we put these up here together. These are all in your head probably to put down there. It takes work for you to clarify what you want. It's easy and it's safe to say, I want to talk about or write something about real big general thing. It's really difficult to say very specific of what you want to write. Kathleen? I thought you had a question.
Well, even in a fiction, if you're... Would you start with your topic, right? Whatever you're... You know, if it's a murder mystery or whatever you want your topic of your fiction book to be.
Yeah. Yeah, so hopefully if you're thinking about writing a fiction book, you already have scenes in your head. You already have characters in your head. Because you don't just one day write a murder mystery. You don't just one day write. You're trying to get out what's in there that you're dreaming about when your spouse is talking to you and you're like, huh? And you had this whole story going on in your head. That's a scene that you had. You find those scenes and you put them down. Most of us don't capture very well, even though on your phone you have a little notepad on your phone, you have a little Evernote that syncs to all your devices, you have all those things. We don't get our ideas. We don't value our ideas. We don't value our imagination at all. Because it does what? It gets you, no, you don't go... I mean, don't go get a literature degree, which I don't want anybody to go get a literature degree. But I want them to go get a job and then get the literature degree. But, you know, things like that, we don't value that. But if you're going to write a fiction book, a murder mystery, you should be intentionally imagining and enjoying the process of imagining the mystery, the characters, the names, the location, the murder. Mr. Plum did it in the library with a candlestick. Who gets that? Some people do. Not everybody. Wait, raise your hand if you get that. You have to participate. Okay.
Of course.
You don't get that one?
Come on.
Golly. Wow. You're much younger than all of us. I'll give you a clue. Good. Thank you, Zeke. So, it's the same. So, writing is writing. You're going to write... how you think, how you're built, where your mind is going already. The hard work isn't imagining what your story is going to be about. The hard work isn't like having it there. The hard work is like putting it down and getting it out. Hopefully I'll be able to have a graphic of this later. I'm doing this book, Healing Wounded Land, and I just grabbed a picture. It's not this big. This is like three different edits of people that helped me. And I have had this. This is an experience I had. It's a very specific slice of story from about a long time ago, like 12, 13, 14 years ago. I probably wrote it. I jotted a bunch of stuff down like 10 years ago. And every couple of years I pick it up and I'm like just too close to it. It's too annoying. It's too much work. And then you keep honoring your story. You keep honoring your thoughts. You keep honoring your imagination. We have a really hard time doing that. Oh, somebody's thought about it before. If you go online and you say you want to write a story that nobody's ever written or nobody's ever thought of, it's probably a bad idea to write that story. Because there's probably not a market for it. If you type in murder mystery with teenagers, if you type in murder mystery mysteries with young, you know, kids in junior high, you'll find something. But if you find cat and dogs murder mysteries, you know, you probably won't find something like that. So you're not looking for that brilliant, super clever, amazing idea. You're looking for something that you enjoy that's in you. Who reads murder mysteries? Who reads spy novels like Baldacci and, you know, all that? So who reads End of the World books? Who reads fantasy books? Who reads romance novels? So you would have those in you. You would have, if you're reading, last week we talked about, if you're reading stuff, you're reading it for a reason. And some of us can like stop reading a lot of that stuff and start thinking about how to write that stuff, okay? So it is the same thing. So, take your piece of paper that has 5 to 8 ideas on it. Everybody have it? Mm-hmm. I want you to go find a wall back here and put it on the wall. It's a post-it note, so it's safe, Alan. Just go take it off.
Another one of those papers.
And go put it somewhere.
You have one of those papers?
I do. Why? Do you need another one?
Oh, thank you.
We'll put it on. Oh, mine didn't stick. They might not stick. Okay, mine was up there.
This is awesome. Where did you find it?
I've never seen.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you put yours up somewhere? Don't make me call your mom. You know, Leandro, I was actually in a college class, and my mom showed up in it. She signed up from a college class. She was thrilled. The professor was thrilled. I was horrified.
I bet.
Don't talk to that lady.
She get better grades than you?
No, she's not as smart as I am. But she's a way better student than I am. So
that's a big difference.
Yeah, I'm a better test taker. Did I just say I was smarter than my mom?
Yeah. You did, I'm telling you.
That wasn't very smart.
That wasn't very smart. All right, so put a circle in the middle of this paper, a nice small circle. Put a circle in the middle of this paper. And take some time and do what with it?
That?
Mind map a topic. Your topic. Put one name, put something in there, and mind map it, okay?
One of the five.
One of the five, yes. If you put five you don't like, then that's a bummer, but put one of your topics in there, only one, and mind map it. All right? And I'll give you an update as the time goes on.
Oh, shoot. I can't choose.
You got to choose. 10, 9, 8, 7. This is all timing for Beth. 6, 5. Did you choose? Did you choose? Okay, good. All right. Remember, don't self-edit. Don't scratch a bunch of stuff out. Don't think through I'm trying to do anything except for dump everything that I have. It's just dumping it down there, okay? Don't correct anything. Don't even think this is right or wrong. Just right. Are you about halfway through? You hopefully have like 6 or 8 circles. Raise your hand if you have 10 circles out there.
10
good.
Circles.
10 circles, 10 topics. Good.
Pages.
Good. And yes, you do want to put circles because you want to designate it, keep them separate from other things, and you want to have it in a circle connected to your main idea in case you're going to put another circle with that idea, okay?
We just have 2 subjects or 1 subject?
One topic.
Okay.
All right, you got 90 more seconds. Ten more seconds. Go ahead and wrap it up. Okay, so look at your list. Appreciate your list. I'm serious, but that's a good. I like that. I'll put it up. Appreciate your list. Go, man. I am full of it. No, I'm kidding. I am full of good ideas. I mean, think about that. So what I want you to do is I want you to take your sheet that you just did, tear it off and go put it up by your list of ideas. If you need some tape, I do have some tape here if it's not sticking very well. I don't even know. I must have been donated since a long time ago. I've had it and used it for. I haven't bought it. I know that.
I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I want it. I'm just going to get some.
Okay, so on page 28, we're going to move around a little bit, but on page 28, there's a quote there, and the quote is, "The best way to have a good idea is to have lots of ideas." And I would add to honor your ideas, to write down your ideas. That's why in this book on that page, Bright Ideas for My Book, those aren't just what we're teaching, but as you're thinking, you're going to jot them down there. You're going to jot, oh, you know what? I like this line. I like this story. I like this stuff, okay? That book, Healing Wounded Land, that I'm working on, I'm going to do like a first edition and get just print it down here, and I'm going to take it to Scotland with us in a couple of weeks. I had asked Jim, I don't like my tagline. You know, you have a short title and you have a longer one, and this is all that he gave me.
That's all.
All. It's like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
20 ideas?
20, yeah, 19 bad ideas.
One good one.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't matter. One good one. And so we think that we're going to, if we edit ourselves and we stop ourselves from putting it out there, and it's just think about that. All we're doing is taking it here and put it on a piece of paper. Nobody can even see the bad ideas.
Right.
Nobody can see the bad sentence. They will eventually see those things, but I want to encourage you to have lots of ideas. Keep them. You know, every time we do a workshop, we used to just do like 3-ring notebook and then we decided that we needed to commit to certain things. And so this is, I saw this, these two things here. So I did a workshop called From Barks to Blues. It was like really, really hard to communicate. It's just a goal setting and vision one. I'd written a short parable, that I really liked, and I used it, but it was like really hard to communicate. So we just changed it to goals, focus, vision, target your vision. And then this is mine from November 2014. This is mine from January 2016. Changed to your best year ever. Roy taught it with me this last time. Zeke taught it with me the time before. My son's back there. That's my son. So he wrote that. He did that with me. And the thing is to, we decided like when somebody's coming and they're going to leave, We want to like honor their time and their ideas, but so they can walk and that you can have. Even if you decide to go away, that you're too afraid to write a book, and you go, I have no ideas. You hopefully will keep this. It'll be there, and it'll irritate you. It'll bug you. Go, you know what? I do want to write a book. I do want to write a book. And so we want to do those things. On that, go to page just at the bottom of page 25. I want to talk a little bit about the resistance. Now, the resistance is this idea that something's pushing against you every time you say, I want to do something good. I want to give $5,000 more to charity next year. I want to lose 10 pounds this year. I want to quit swearing. Krisha, I'm kidding. totally bad joke.
You'll pay for that later.
All right. After 31 years almost, I've paid my taxes on my marriage, I think. That was funny. So, but there's something. See, the resistance should have stopped me. I'm blaming the devil. No. So think about that. Every time if you want to swear a lot more, nothing fights against you, right? If you want to eat ice cream every night, nothing's fighting. It's easy access to ice cream. It's easy. If you want to be meaner, it's not hard to be meaner. It's not hard to hide. It's hard to step out there, step up to the plate, step into the ring. It's hard to lose weight, be kinder, be more of who you're supposed to be. And there's a resistance that comes in and presses against us. And I'm going to give you four things that you can... That could signify resistance in you. The first one is being general and staying general. Yeah, you can just write it down on the notes down there on that page. Okay. So being general and staying general. If you stay general, if you say, oh, I just want to save the world. Well, guess what? You're never going to. You're not even going to get started. You're not even going to try. You're just going to like saying, I just want to save the world. It's like saying, I want to love the world, or I want to feed the world, or I want... You've got to say, what part of the world? How do you want to help somebody? How do you want to love somebody? You've got to. You have to narrow it down. I will love and minister to and help this group of people. It's the same with, I will write this book on this topic, and these are my 12 chapters. Or 8 chapters. It doesn't really matter. Or these are my 8 stories I want to tell that show how not to hide. From my experience, I'm going to help you not hide, even though you're maybe a natural born hider. So things like that. So you have to commit. You don't have to then follow a rule that I have to use that title, I have to use those 8 chapters, but you have to commit to something. So being general, staying general is a really bad idea. Generally, I want to lose weight. No, specifically, I want to go down X number of pounds. And we know that from goal setting and things like that. The second resistance is saying I can't do it. Saying I cannot is a form of resistance where you agree with resistance and saying, you're right, I cannot write a book, I cannot quit swearing, I cannot stop this, I cannot. There's something that I cannot do. It's just not very true. Second one is saying I don't know. Saying, I want to write a book? What do you want a book on? I don't know. You do know. You might be afraid of saying what you want to write it on. It might be pretty deep. You might not have words to put on it, but that's your responsibility to punch resistance in the face, to push past resistance, is to stop saying, I don't know, is to stop saying, I cannot. The fourth one is kind of like the nail in the coffin, is when you say, when you try to lose weight, or you try to get a better job, or you try to be a better person, or you try to stop something that you really want to do, or in our case, you want to write a book, and you say, I no longer want to. So it's not just I want to, but I can't, or I want to, but I don't know how, or I want to, and it's general. It's like, now I've come to where I no longer want to write a book. Because you've realized it's going to take some energy. You realize you're going to have to go past some fear. You're going to have to take some time. You're going to have to do something. Somebody eventually is going to look at what you write. Somebody eventually, there's a lot of people who like to study, like to learn a lot of stuff, and there's never a place where they ever present it. And so they you start not caring to learn anymore. You start not caring, so you just kind of get lost in that. We're called to lead and talk to people and share things that we know, so that I no longer want to do it is a tough thing. So if any of you in here next year say, well, I no longer want to write a book, we're going to turn over to page 25 and you're going to see that note in there, okay? All right, so any questions up to this point? You've picked a topic. You have some chapters. And turn to page 30. And then after this page, we're going to take a break. So this is like, I think this is super cool. It's repurpose, recycle, reuse. Raise your hand if you've ever taught a class. Raise your hand if you've ever taught a class, okay? Raise your hand if you've ever written a blog. Raise your hand if you've ever led a retreat or conference, workshop, anything like that. You got to participate. Got to raise your hand. Don't make me call your husband. Ever taught a Bible study? Ever regularly shared a story? That's all of us, too, by the way. We share stories. Usually we share little snippets. Usually we share a piece of a chapter of a story. We share our hurt story. We share our we were abandoned story. We share our we were rejected story. We only share little pieces of it. Some of them, the parts we share, are funny. Some are empathetic with the person we're around. Some are just clarification. This is how I know so-and-so, because we were at this church together. You know, we were part of this group together, and it went south pretty quick. And things like that, and those are bits and pieces of story that we share. And then, have you ever solved a problem? Boy, half of you haven't ever solved a problem. Have you ever had an experience that you want to share with anybody? That's everybody. We have experiences that we share. We wouldn't read other people's stories that we've never met, that we will never meet. We wouldn't listen to other people's stories. We wouldn't watch even... We're watching all the time stuff that's coming out of people's brain dumps, their mind mapping, aren't we? We're watching the crime show. We're watching the comedy. We're watching these things, and we're watching people do their art. We're spending time and money and energy getting around them, and we need to be doing more of those things. So here's an example. I think my mom probably gave this to me. Here's an example of a very short book, and all they do is quote little events with some scriptures on it. There's connecting. It's in God We Still Trust in America and stuff like that. This is a book. Somebody's selling this book for, well, I can't see a price on it, but this is somebody's book that they wrote. And you know what? They didn't come up with these scriptures. All they did was find the scriptures. They didn't make up Daniel Webster from the 70s. He was a guy. We don't come up with a ton of stuff in what we do. I actually wrote this book right here when Kathleen Gage told me I need to go read James about double-mindedness. And I took it seriously, and I wrote a bunch down, and I learned a bunch, and I wrote that. So this one was from a blog, and I'm super excited. This is going to come out. All my books are Kindle, but then I get it printed down at Alpha Graphics. And I'm just going to get this one down in a small book, a little about this size, and it's going to be on Amazon. You get a printed copy of my book on Amazon because they have this amazing thing called POD, print on demand. You can download your book for free. You can get it all together, and they will print one book at a time. Wow. At a time. That's amazing. There's no barriers for anybody getting your books. It is neat. And you know what? I don't know when I wrote this book, like 4 years ago. This one, I redid it I redo it like every 18 months. And somebody that's doing it for the thing on Amazon, it's called Create Space, they found like a dozen, they made a dozen corrections in it. How embarrassing is that? I printed and gave away hundreds of these, but you know what? Nobody cares. Well, some people care. Grammar Nazis and stuff like that. No, people with really good grammar. So that lady is one of those. That I did in a good way.
You didn't ask me to edit it.
I've never met her. I've never met her. She's doing it. And my mom actually gives me back my books with corrections on them. I give her a couple, though. Yeah, here. She has an education degree. She's a better student than me. She cares more. But this, I actually preached this message on positive ID, and I've actually got my four messages here: dumpster diving, fishing, address changing, old fashioned stealing, on how the enemy steals our ID, and I think I still have these four on audio. So there's a lot of different things you can do, and it's repurpose, recycle, reuse. I've actually preached this since then. I did a workbook. I don't have it with me. My first workbook on your strength finders was called Positive ID. And I don't call it that anymore because positive ID is difficult to communicate. But I still have the whole positive ID thing in there that I use. So I think I showed this last week. I ran across this. This was Jim and I did a 2011. So it's 5 years ago, almost 5 years ago. We did a 3-day retreat at Camp Allen. We had the schedule out, and it was all on inner healing and a little bit of fishing and dancing and stuff like that. We had I think about 25 people up there, and we took that and we made. We made this right here, and it says, "Bright ideas that lead to real freedom." And then we actually went to Scotland with that one, and then we did a second part. Weren't very creative on the title, but it's part two, and it actually took the positive ID stuff and put it in here in an inner healing sort of way on who we are. So there's lots of things you can do, and so if you will think about how can I utilize what I already have.
Yeah.
There is actually on the resource pages. There's a transcription company in there that it charges. I think it's like for a 30-minute speech, it charges like $15 or $16 to transcribe it for you. And so Jim's books, I didn't bring one of his books. I didn't have any at the one I bought off of Amazon because he got on CreateSpace before me on Amazon. That book was entirely transcribed. He wrote it, and then we're going to talk about how I helped him outline it, how I helped him chapter it, title it. But it's all spoken, and he just had it transcribed, and then he just played with all the words on the page. He didn't have to create stuff on his own. This one, when I pulled it out of the vision, the goals, focus, vision, the Become Your Best Year Ever book on goal setting and vision, I love the little story I had here.
I've got that book.
Good. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
You might. And
I really enjoyed that story.
Thank you. Well, I wrote this little story. I thought this was going to be a kid's story, and I was like, wait, the guitar, the tree totally gets ground up and is in a lot of pain. It's probably not a kid's story. But what I wrote a 21. Yeah. So it writes it, then you have to figure out what to do with it. So I wrote 21 days to a clearer vision on this little parable that I wrote in here.
Oh, and I went to your workshop on that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I did this. I think this is new since then. Maybe. Okay, maybe not. But I'm excited to have, and I'm going to redo this and rename it and make it a clearer name and a clearer purpose for that. And so repurpose, recycle, and reuse is think about things that you've done. Think about things that you've had, even an experience that was monumental, that maybe it's an experience that you keep helping people because of that really wonderful or horrible year in your life. Mm. Maybe you're restored in it. You use it all the time. Maybe that's your story. And we'll talk about some of the ways to get those stories out, okay? All right, just go ahead and take about a 5-minute break. And when you come back or if you don't leave, I want you to look at people's stuff up on the walls, okay? Go through and look at their stuff, all right?